Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver, live from the Superbook.com studios. Denver Sports Station is 104.3 The Fan. Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stick and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
No excuses, no explanations, do your job.
Well, the Nuggets will try to do their job tonight against the Knicks, playing back-to-back, the Knicks. They won at Utah last night, but try to do their job without Nikola Jokic. He's entered the health and safety protocols. Now, we know that Bones Highland has been out for the same reason. You can enter the protocols even if you don't test positive for COVID. But it would appear that this is the case with Jokic and Bones. Players have typically, on average, been returning from the protocols within 5 to 7 days. You automatically are out after 10. Very confusing. So
it's like Thunderdome.
Yeah. Well,
it's like Thunderdome.
What's Thunderdome?
One man enter. No, two men enter. One man leaves.
That's Thunderdome.
Yeah, Thunderdome.
Oh, that's Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Well, that's the health and safety protocol.
Right, it's like Thunderdome. So Bones and Joker go in. One guy gets to come out.
One guy gets to come
out. And Bones comes out probably, before Joker,
probably,
right?
Probably.
Two-man enter, one-man leave.
We shall see. We shall see how long he'll be out, but it looks like he'll miss at least probably a couple of games.
Okay.
Hopefully that's it. He could miss upwards of 4 to 5 if he's in there for the full 10 days. So okay. We shall see. Nuggets tonight. Other guys will have to step up, and we'll see how they do with that. Next in Four Down.
Second down.
I think that there's been a lot of things that have accounted to that. But as a staff, as a group, as an offensive group, we want to be sure we put the best grouping out there. We want to put the best plays out there that fit Russ and fit this offense. And we're still working through that because it hasn't looked like what any of us want it to look like.
So Nathaniel Hackett was asked the other day, did you think this offense would be further along by now? Of course. Did not think it would take this long. My question is, and we're running the promo of Derek Wolfe saying, I knew he was going to say click. I knew it. I knew he was going to say click at some point. I knew he was going to finish it up with click. At this point, is it ever going to really click this year? Are we too far along to miraculously hope that the switch will be flipped and this thing will, maybe it'll incrementally improve, baby steps. But the idea that this offense is going to click, you still hold out hope?
No. I just don't believe, these are things I believe from playing for a long time, Mike, and covering this game for a long time. It is virtually impossible, did you hear that? To throw yourself into rhythm. We're just going to keep dropping back and throwing the ball. We're going to throw ourselves into rhythm. Throwing the ball on the road is like giving oxygen to a fire. The crowds get involved. The guys pin their ear back to hit your quarterback 18 times and sack him 6 times. When you throw it 42 times on the road, that's oxygen to a fire. You know how they do that, like in that, what was a fire movie, you know, where they felt the door and like
Backdraft.
Yeah, and then they opened them, right? And then everything blew up. It's Backdraft. You don't throw yourself into rhythm. You know what you do? You line up in snot-nose, heavy formation, and you start playing football in a phone booth. Here we go. You're about to get thunder punched right in the freaking throat. Ain't nothing you're going to do about it. And I don't care if we go 3 and out. It's going to be 3 of the ugliest, dirtiest, filthiest runs you have ever seen. And you're going to be on the sideline going, damn. Getting real. And then we're going to come out and we're going to do it again. And then we're going to do it again. And eventually, you know what's going to happen? Your knees are going to wobble. And when we get your knees wobbling, you know what we're going to do? We're going to hit you over the top with a play, and then we're going to get ourselves into some type of rhythm. But, you know, you trying to be fancy pants offense, let's ride, let's throw deep, let's let Russ cook. No.
Let's ride.
I'm sorry. That will never, ever click.
Next and four down.
Third down.
Sorry for being emotional. I'm just pissed off about some of the things, you know, that a lot of us try and do just to practice what we put our bodies through just to sleep at night. And for that to be the result of all that effort pisses me off.
That is beautiful. Derek Carr, after the game Sunday. Actors are sitting back going, my God. How?
It's beautiful.
How can I get to that place that Derek Carr just went? Holy smokes.
I saw the video. I couldn't believe his mascara didn't bleed. Because he does have dark eyelashes. Have you ever noticed that?
He looks like he's wearing mascara.
Very dark eyelashes.
He's got a Alice Cooper look going for him.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
He's a Chris Angel type thing.
Oh, my God. I wonder if he knows magic. Could you imagine if Derek Carr knew magic?
Well, then you'd be better than 2-7. I'll say that.
Well, maybe he doesn't know good magic.
He's got a point.
He's like one of those
guys.
Well,
maybe he knows good magic, but he's being done in by Voldemort McDaniels.
Right. That could be. That could be the kid. It's like Ron Weasley, though. Ron Weasley would try to cast a spell, and it would always be wrong, right? Like,
Expecto Patronus. Those out.
You're right? I mean, he may be the Ron Weasley of magic.
So, I know you've been preparing for the Raiders as well. We're very selfish over here when it comes to your film time. We want it all to be about the Broncos, but you've been looking at the Raiders as well.
Mm-hmm.
And as bad as it is here, which team would you say will have the better record by the end of the season? Based on what you see on film.
The Raiders.
Oh, seriously? Really?
Oh, I think offensively they're better. Way better.
Yeah, but we're way better defensively.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, if we're going to continue to score 14 points a game and put the onus on our defense, eventually your defense is going to get exhausted from being awesome. You get exhausted from being awesome. Listen, they've done this. They've gotten themselves to a 2-7 record, but they've done it 5 games without Waller. They've done it without Renfro. I'm just telling you, they've got some talent on that side of the ball, and they know how to run the ball. Coming out of that film, I have more notes about what Indy did, because I was looking at what Indy did, and I was thinking to myself, why can't we do that? Why can't we get the Jeff Saturday treatment and say, we are running the ball, we're going to throw the short passing game, we're going to get our star quarterback outside the pocket, let him rip it a couple of times, we're going to run the RPO game to perfection. Matt Ryan can't run, I mean, he had a 39-yard scramble against man coverage, but Matt Ryan couldn't run 2 inches. They're running RPOs, and the Raiders linebackers are sucking up like Matt Ryan is going to take off, and he's just slicing and dicing everything underneath. Little drift routes, little slant routes, little thunder routes on the outside. One after the other after the other. Boom, 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 boom. Run it, run it, run it, run it. Boom. I'm just like,
so what? When you were making notes, did you write in the parentheses? Did you write, Evans is wrong?
No.
Oh, you said Evans is right. Matt Ryan is
the
washed.
Man in the mom jeans is correct.
Oh, no, no. No, I didn't even think about, I wasn't thinking about you at the time. I was thinking about why can't I got to the point where I watched, there was at one point I had watched a quarter and a half and taken copious notes, right? Impeccable notes. And I thought to myself, all these notes are Indianapolis notes. I'm calling the Raiders game. I'm not kidding you.
You just kept taking Colts notes?
Yeah, because it was like, we should be doing that. We should be doing that. We should be doing that.
Okay. Third and long.
Oh, where's the king?
Where's the king?
I need the king.
You gotta have the king.
The king.
King. Oh, the king is there he is. Thank you, Marquette. Coming up is Russell Wilson's ego. Is it ego that's getting in the way of this Broncos offense? That's next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
I'll say this for the Broncos. They're certainly really good at getting other teams' players' awards. Seems like every time the Broncos play somebody, that next week when the AFC and NFC Player of the Week awards are handed out, there's always a player from that team.
Right, from that team's defense or special teams.
Well, here you go again. Special teams. This one actually, good for this guy. Ryan Stonehouse, the punter.
From Tennessee.
For Tennessee, from Colorado State.
Yeah.
CSU Ram. Proud to be a CSU Ram. Ryan Stonehouse, AFC Special Teams Player of the Week for his booming punts against the Broncos. So congratulations to him.
Our defense gave him plenty of opportunities to punt.
Correct. And he took advantage
of it. He nailed it.
And pinned our offense back. Just bad field position. That's the only thing that held us back.
Poor
field position.
If we would have had better field position, we could have opened up the playbook and used our secret stuff. And then Tennessee would have been in deep, deep doo-doo.
To recap what we did yesterday in Telestrator Tuesday, your breakdown of the film revealed that the majority of the blame for what goes on with this offense rests with the coaches.
Yeah, that's where I put it. I mean, everybody's got a share of the blame. And Russell Wilson, by no means, Russell Wilson is not playing well at all. He's missing tons of stuff, right? Just tons. And refusing to take the stuff that's given to him. So that's an issue.
I want to go right there. Okay. And I'm glad you said it that way. And you said it again yesterday that way. That he refuses to take plays that are there. Maybe it's 3rd and 10, 3rd and 9, and there's a play underneath that is a completion for 5 yards, and you hope that the receiver can make the catch, break a tackle, get to the first down marker. But he refuses, your word, to take that kind of a play. He wants to go deep. He wants to make plays. This is a very important question I'm asking. Is this a byproduct of his hyper-competitiveness and just desire to win, or is it selfishness? Because if it's hyper-competitiveness, I can work with that. But if it's selfishness, that's a problem.
So let me just say this. This has been a criticism of Russ for a very long time. So if it's hyper-competitiveness, don't you think you would have come to grips in year 10 with, I've got to do this because it's the good of the team and it's about winning? And he's told me I want to be the number one winner. Like, he doesn't hesitate. He tells everybody that. So, you know, I don't care about the stats. I want the wins, right? That's why I want to go down as the best winner of all time. Well, then I would think you would take that. So, if you're giving me two options, maybe you just don't understand how. Maybe the issue is, and this is just a big topic in general, Mike. Empathy. Do you know how important having empathy is? Right? It's different than sympathy. Sympathy is, you know, I feel sorry for that person in their situation. Empathy is, man, I feel it. I've been there. Understand it. And to be a really good football player, you have to have empathy. You have to understand other people's issues. You have to understand how it all works together. So, if a team like Tennessee, on every third down, is running, you know, some type of man under, too high safety look, whatever they're running, right? There's just some type of running with the receivers that are running deeper routes. A couple things. One, you're running a bunch of deep routes as an offensive coordinator, running deep, with an offensive line with a bunch of third-teamers in it. Just that's going, hey, I know we're not very good, but just try to hold up. That's not a plan. That's stupidity. It really is. Like, put a guy in a position to fail, and then don't be surprised when he fails, because he'll fail every time. If you had to block me and we did one-on-ones in here 10 times in a row, I'm going to beat you 10 times in a row because I know what I'm doing and you don't. And don't be upset. It's good. Don't cry.
I'm wiggly. Okay. I'm slippery. But I think one time I might be able to get through.
But okay, maybe one time. But what I'm telling you is that if you put a guy in that position and say, hey, block this dude, just hold up, that's unfair to the guy. That's lacking empathy for how hard that job is. So now Tennessee knows what you're doing. You're running a bunch of deeper routes. So they're running, they're basically getting in your hip pocket and running with you. You know, if you're running a route, it's a 10-yard, it's 10 yards to the sticks, and you're running 12 to 14-yard routes, they're all the way at 10 to 14 yards. So the thought process, and now your protection's breaking down. You've got to have something underneath, which they did. Throw it to him. Now, maybe that guy rallies up and makes a tackle, that guy that's one-on-one. Maybe he makes a tackle, right? Maybe he makes it two or three times. But eventually, you're going to break one. Eventually, you're going to get a first down. Then you know what happens? Then they say, wait a minute, they just converted two third downs in a row, kept drives alive, and they scored. We can't just run with a deep route. Now we got to start protecting the underneath stuff.
Okay, so back to Russ then, because you made it a point. You were just telling us today, you're looking at Raider Colt film, and you kept taking Colts notes, and you were noting how Matt Ryan just kept taking free play after free play.
Correct.
Never got bored. Never got bored. Just 5-6 yard gains. Oh, never got bored with the old line. You never go broke making a profit.
Right.
So there are those plays to be made for us. Again, I need an answer. Is he turning these down because he just doesn't see them? Or he sees them, but he just tells himself that I can make a play. I can make a play. Yeah. I can make a play. And is that something that you don't want to condemn the guy for because he is trying to make a play? Or the third option is, nope. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it because that's not the way I want to play. Which is then that's selfishness. So he either doesn't see it, he's just selfish, or he just is hyper competitive and trying to make a play.
I don't think anybody over there has enough empathy for how hard the game is and what they're asking a bunch of backups to do up front. I really don't.
So he doesn't have empathy. Okay, so Hackett doesn't have empathy because he's running long routes.
Here's what I'd like to do.
And Russ doesn't have empathy because he doesn't realize that his offensive line can't hold up to make the plays he wants to make.
Yeah, and then give your guy the ball and give him a chance.
Yeah.
Give your guy the ball and give him a chance to do something special. I would tell you this right now. This is what I'd love to do. I'd love to put everybody over there on the offensive side. Russ, Hackett, Auten, whoever else. In full pads, and then have them go out for one-on-ones and have the defensive line beat the piss out of them for 42 plays in a row. Because then they've developed some empathy for how hard what they're asking their guys to do. I would love to play that drill. Because you know what? It'd take about three pass rushes on Draymond Jones before you'd be like, you know, you'd have a big crap stain in your underpants and you need to go take a shower. That's what it would take. But until you develop that, you know, you're going to keep calling plays the way you call plays, and that crap will never work.
What's trending? Coming up next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Let me set this up for you, Fever, okay? So, John Tortorella is the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
Philadelphia Flyers.
Torts!
Torts is colorful, man.
I work with Torts.
Did you work with Torts?
Yeah.
What was that experience like?
Torts is great. I like talking hockey with hockey guys. Yeah, he's a hockey guy.
And he is a hockey guy who does not
suffer fools.
He does not suffer fools. And he has no problem with calling his team out, as he did during a in-game, middle of the first period interview. Here's how it sounded.
Torts, you guys give up the first goal. Just thoughts on your team's start here so far in the first 15-plus minutes.
We suck. We haven't forechecked. We haven't done anything as of right now.
What do you want to see differently?
Forecheck.
Thank you.
Okay.
We suck.
I love that guy.
That's awesome.
I don't know.
We suck.
This is a style that works, but it tends to, he burns hot, and as a result,
right.
Players tend to tune him out after a while, and he moves on, so.
Love that guy.
Yeah.
Love that guy. So Troy Aikman and John Perry, the ESPN rules analyst on Monday Night Football, got into it the other day. There was a play when a Washington wide receiver was called for pass interference. During the play, Dotson and Curtis Samuel crossed paths while running their routes. Dotson ran into Samuel's defender, and as a result, Eagles cornerback Josiah Scott was held up, and Samuel had a wide-open reception. Dotson was flagged. Aikman disagreed with the call. Perry said, "That's obstructing." Aikman quickly responded with, "I disagree. I don't think he created it. I think he's running a route."
Mm.
You visit. Who's your? You got Blandino?
Yeah, Dean Blandino.
How do your exchanges go? You normally agree with him? Have you ever thought about saying Dino?
Dino.
You're wrong.
That's
how you should say Dino.
Dino. Dino. Disagree. We haven't gotten into the penalty stuff. We haven't gotten into that. Most of the stuff is just, you know, if it's a close call or we need some rules clarification, although Adam is great with the rules. Me, not so much. It's like math. Rules, rules, rules. All these rules. But
math,
no.
Math,
no.
Math,
but I agree with Troy. I thought Dotson was running a route. You know, I mean, it's like the fake routes. Like, some guys run the fake routes because they put their hands out, but you know they're trying to obstruct and they don't get called. He looked like he was running a real live route. And I know they're running some type of rub, but it looked like a real live route. So I kind of was on, I watched the game live. I was on Aikman's side on that.
So I don't know if you've seen this, but with the World Cup ready to start in Qatar, I've heard Qatar too. I guess Qatar. But you can see what is passing for hotel rooms here. I'm doing the air quotes. You can rent out a room in a container, like a shipping container.
Mm-hmm.
They are taking shipping containers down by the dock and converting them into rooms that you can rent to stay in.
Right.
Also saw rooms yesterday online where they are literally just separated by like sheets that just kind of blow in the breeze. And inside there's a couple of beds. You can rent these rooms if you want to go to the World Cup.
How hot is it this time of year?
Well, it's not as hot as it. That's why you're seeing the World Cup in November and December, which is unusual. But it's still going to be toasty over there. Yes. Now you can stay in
container.
You can stay in complete opulence over there, like really rich places. But
I guarantee you that
the rank
shipping,
and file.
I guarantee that shipping container is nicer than the Albion. I promise. That, I promise you that
you might be right about that. That. So a couple years ago, we're in Miami at the Super Bowl. And Raj, I think it was Raj or Amran, they met well. They didn't know. And
yeah, well, the brochure,
online. Right in South Beach.
Beautiful.
Right in South Beach.
I mean, beautiful.
We were like a 2-minute walk from the beach.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And you walk in the lobby, it didn't look that bad.
No, it looked like, hey, man, this is kind of a boutique-y, cute hotel.
Like old Miami Beach type.
Right.
And how was it?
Dude, that place was.
Tell the story about Joe Theismann's agent.
His name is Jamie Fitz, but Jamie Fitz is an agent and represents a lot of guys, marketing deals, Shannon Sharp, and a bunch of different dudes. And he had a couple guys, Hall of Famers, because he saw the same brochures and the same online. And he had a couple dudes who just said, "Nope, I won't stay here." and it's like, I mean, he spent like 30 grand in rooms.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Nope, no, you're going to find me a different room. Like, you're, because I ain't staying here." Yeah, he had three or four guys. Theismann was not one of them. Theismann stayed.
And we stayed.
Yeah, we did.
We did. I got to do one more. One more. This is a great story. You're going to love this. So after winning Sunday Night Football, the 49er players relaxed. A number of them went to a Golden State Warriors
game the next night.
And a lot of them were out there. Kittle, Christian McCaffrey.
Uh-huh.
But there was one guy that all the Golden State Warrior dancers wanted to meet and went up to and hung out with and took pictures with and danced in front of during the game.
Mm.
Guess who that was?
Jimmy G.
Jimmy G.
He's a handsome devil.
Man, I saw pictures of him.
Jeez. Dude, every time I meet with a guy, I'm a little wompy jawed afterwards. I'm not going to lie to you. That is one good-looking dude, man.
Dude, he came off the practice field. Like, literally ripped his helmet off and sat down beside us. His hair was perfect. I was like, you just had a helmet on. How is your hair perfect? It was just like he just come out of the salon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Olive-y skin.
Yeah.
Always got a little stubble going on. Oh, I mean, that dude is...
He's just...
Handsome.
Man.
Handsome.
Hey, man. Listen. Sometimes you just got to give credit where credit is due.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's all we're doing.
That's right.
Just giving... Just credit, man. Props.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Guys, he's beautiful.
That is what is trending as we roll along. Coming up... Hey, listen, there's been a lot of beating up of the Broncos, much deserved, but as Mark has broken down the film the last couple of days, what stands out that's positive for the Broncos? Surely he's able to find some positives. Could he even find something positive from the offense? We'll find out next.
Loosen up those joints and muscles. It's time for your 7:45 stretch. Here's Schlereth and Evans with the biggest story in Denver sports.
Oh, I got to start right there then. Can you share that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
So
it wasn't in confidence. I mean, it was in our meeting. I don't know that I shared it on air, but, you know, sometimes it just doesn't present itself.
Well, it might not be considered that big of a deal there, but it is or has been presented as a big deal that Russell Wilson is just above his teammates. Russell Wilson is separate from his teammates. Russell Wilson isn't one of the guys. He's not down there in the locker room. He's got an office, for God's sake. An office.
Right.
What'd you find out this weekend?
Mike Tomlin gave Kenny Pickett an office upstairs.
So a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, he said he just has this insatiable appetite to work and to learn. And so... Like he said, hey, listen, man, I treat him like a rookie on the field, but he's 24 years old. He's mature. He's got an old soul about him. I don't treat him like a rookie anywhere else. And he's got this appetite for understanding and learning. And so I gave him an office so he can just sit up here and grind because he's here all the time. So just as individual place for him to do it and where he's close to the coaches and he can ask questions and we can peek our shoulder, or we can peek our head over his shoulder and see what he's working on.
All right. So the whole office thing, I think, is way overplayed.
I think that's completely overblown.
It's way overplayed. Okay. So let's.
I'm sure there's. I've heard Kirk Cousins has an. I've heard there. I bet you there's a lot more quarterbacks than you think that have an office or a cubicle or whatever, just so they can put their crap away.
Okay. So let's put that aside. That is dumb. That doesn't explain what's going on. But. It's obvious that there is a massive disconnect this late in the season going on between Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson. They are just not on the same page. And it's clear that what they're running or what Nathaniel Hackett, coming from the West Coast offense, what he is familiar with, his offense, they're not even running it, especially when it comes to the run game. As you have said, if you want to be a wide zone team, and that's something that Broncos fans have grown up on.
Well, it's so what
going
it's
back
what
to the days of Mike Shanahan.
It was what we were told. Nathaniel Hackett came in here and said, I'm going to base out a wide zone.
Okay.
He said that. I know he said it to me, but I know that he said it out there in public. So I'm not again, breaking confidence. I would never do that.
And they're not running it.
They're trying, but you can't. Not if you're a shotgun-based team. You shotgun. Cannot... Yes, you can't. You can't have the right track. You can never get the right entry point in wide zone out of shotgun side saddle.
So this is an uncomfortable question, but it needs to be asked, and maybe you'll be able to get to the bottom of it this weekend when you meet with Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson. Either Nathaniel Hackett is reluctant or scared to tell Russell Wilson this is the way it needs to be, or Russell Wilson is just telling him, no, I refuse. I don't care what you're telling me. We're doing it my way.
Can't do it.
When you watch how bad this offense is, it's clear the coach and the quarterback are not on the same page. They have different visions.
Yeah.
So what is it?
I told you... And this is, I have no great understanding or epiphany or information. This is just an opinion watching this team and watching throughout the preseason and watching what we've established to this point. I just believe there have been certain concessions made by the organization because they have been without a quarterback for 6 years. And there are certain things that Russell just doesn't want to do. And therefore, they're not doing those things. And again, that becomes one of those situations where you may not want to do it, but the bottom line is what you're doing is harming the guys who are having the tougher jobs. I'll give you, for instance, they ran one. I don't know if it was an RPO. It could have had a pass attached to it. I doubt that it did. But they had one zone read play. You'll remember the play where Russell pulled the ball and took a 2 yard, minus two.
Yeah.
So that dude, the defensive end that you're reading, okay, you're reading that guy. And one of the kind of theories behind the read zone, if you're good at read zone runs, right, that's when you flag that ball in there and you look at one person. The defensive end, usually you can do it to a D tackle, you can do it to different people, but you read him. And if he pinches down hard, you pull the ball and you run. If he plays that surf and he's trying to play both, just hand the ball off because he'll never get there. He may get an arm on him, but he's not going to tackle the running back. So the D end, I can't remember who it was for Tennessee, Autry maybe, surfed and Russ pulled and got a 2 yard loss. Now, is that because you don't want to run it? There, I'll end this right now. I don't like this play. I don't like the way, because you hand that off. Maybe it's because you just don't have enough practice at it, so you didn't read it properly. I'm sure that's probably what it is. You haven't read it properly. And then, whereas, like, that's a perfect, for Russ, it's a perfect system. And especially when you're reading the defensive end, because if you're reading him, now you attach an RPO to it. So now it's like a triple option, right? So I can hand the ball off, I can keep it if the end pinches, or I can flag it in there, and if I'm running like a drift on the backside, just a 12-yard in-cutting route, or a slant on the backside, I can look at that, whoever that coverage guy is, right? If that linebacker sucks up, well, that's going to be wide open. So now I'm going to pull it and whoop, throw it, and it's outside. So you should have, theoretically, you should have great vision on that. But you're not running that stuff either. I told you, watching Indianapolis, I watched Matt Ryan run the snot out of it and just dissect the Raiders. Dissect them. Matt Ryan can't run 4 inches. Matt Ryan threatens nobody on the edge. The whole principle between the RPO game and the zone read game is if you can't block a guy, read him. Make him make the decision because he's going to be wrong every time. Because if he surfs it, like if he just stays flat-footed, you're going to beat him to the edge. If he pinches hard, you pull it, you're going to get a good run out of it. If he just surfs out there and you hand it off, he can't get in, he can't squeeze enough to make that tackle. So you're essentially blocking the biggest threat on the defense without blocking
so,
him. Do you understand? Yeah. Do you understand
that? Let me see
that?
If I'm clear here. So you're saying this was a play that Nathaniel Hackett wanted to run and Russ didn't want to run it, so he just kind of ran it half-ass?
Well, I'm just telling you, it was a half-ass play. So have you not run it enough to really be able to read it? Did you just not want to do it anymore? Like, I don't know what the answer is, but that is, if you look at that play, I can bring it up on the Exos Thundercloud. It's awful.
I remember the play specific. And I was,
but as a coach,
my first thought was retire that play, get rid of that play.
So as
I never want to see it again.
As a coach, what would you do now if that's the result of that play?
I never run it again.
You'll never call it again.
But it could be a good play.
It could be, and it's such an easy. It's a one. When you run that play, it's a one read. Like for if you're throwing it on the RPO on the pass aspect, you're reading one thing. It's not multiple read. You're not going high low on this side. Let me dissect the coverage. You're going. Does that linebacker right there? Does he suck up? If he does, I pull it and I throw it to the slant or to the drift.
So this goes back to our conversation yesterday, Telestrator Tuesday, and you were saying, hey, if I had to pin the majority of the blame on what's going on with the Broncos, I would put it on coaching. Okay, but the way you just described it is there is a stubbornness / selfishness
that exists with Russell Wilson and his reluctance to do things a certain way that, yes, you can say, hey, come on, Coach Hackett. You're either coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. Come on, Coach Hackett. Step in there and tell him the way it's going to be. Why? Why should he have to? You're talking about a 10-year veteran. Mm-hmm. You're talking about a guy who supposedly stands for all the things that are right about football, right about being a leader. Mm-hmm. You're talking about a guy who works endless hours because it matters so much to him. You're talking about a guy that you had meetings with, and he has told you, I want to go down as one of the great winners of all time. Then prove it.
Right. Well, no.
You can't be all of those things. You can't say you're all of those things and then allow your selfishness / stubbornness to get in the way when the results are obvious to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the difference here?
Well,
I mean, I get what you're saying, that it's Hackett's fault, but is it really?
When I broke this down for you yesterday, what was the percentages I gave you? 30%. 30%. 30% on the coaching, 30% on the quarterback, and then divvy up the rest, O-line and receivers and all that stuff. Yeah, there are a lot of issues. There are a lot of issues, and Russ is missing a lot of things. And the reason I put more of the onus on the coaching is because, again, that statement you just made, you're either coaching or allowing it to happen. So if you're allowing it to happen, then that's on you. So what do we do? Like, what do you do? Now, I come from a different era. You know, I didn't have a 1-800 line to call up and tell everybody how sore my feelings were, right? The coach yelled at me, and he called me a bad name, and, you know, that didn't exist. So you had to get it done. So bottom line, we're going to run the things that I want to run, and you're not going to have an option. You can't option out of them. You can't change the play. Hey, here's what we're going to do. Or we're going to have a series of plays that we're going to use snap count to our advantage for the first time all season because we've got a diminished offensive line. We're going to do the things that I want to do. This is the way it's going to work. And, Russ, if you don't like it, guess what? I'll put Ripon in. You're worried about your legacy? You can sit down and think about it and cry on the bench like Paxton. See how I worked that in there?
It's not dead, folks.
No.
It is.
We don't have a franchise quarterback right now.
It most definitely has not gone away.
We do not have a franchise quarterback.
Nope.
We have proven that.
Hey, I'm all for that. I love it. I love the idea, but you better be sure
can
that.
We talk about.
Does George Payton have Nathaniel Hackett's back on that? Because all Russ what you're describing, Russ can just go to Peyton and go, hey, this wasn't what you promised me.
Here's what I would say. I'd take a page out of the Gary Kubiak playbook. Fire me. I'm getting fired anyway. You think Hackett's going to survive this, the way this looks right now?
No chance.
You're just not. Like, I'm not rooting or listen, I have an affinity, a love for the Broncos, for George Payton, for Nathaniel Hackett. And I really like Nathaniel Hackett. I really do. I want him to succeed. I want this thing to turn around. I want it to turn around. And I want to be proud of watching the Broncos play. And I want them to dice people up. And I want to be back on the top of the NFL where we belong. I believe that. And I want to see that happen for Nathaniel Hackett. You know, everybody's talking about, would you go the Jeff Saturday route? I'm not lobbying for anybody's job. I'm not asking for him to get fired. I don't want him to be fired. I really like him. But you're going to get fired. The way this is played out, you're going to get fired. So if I'm going down, if I'm him, this would be my advice. If I'm you, I'm going down on my terms.
Because here's what's at stake for him. If this thing goes the way we think it's going to go and he gets fired and he just goes out with a whimper, he's never going to be a head coach again.
Never.
You might as well go down in a way that makes it clear, at least to the NFL world, that, hey, I wanted to do things a certain way. I was never empowered.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tried to regain control and do the things I wanted to do, My general manager didn't back me. My new ownership didn't back me. I was one man alone. And because we had to acquiesce to Russell Wilson's demands, I was never allowed to do what I did. I tried. I got fired. You know what? There might be another team out there that'll say, okay, I like that.
Well, I was
now,
like,
he may need to do some football rehab, be an offensive coordinator again, yeah. Sure, but
you're
he
not
could
even,
still stay in the mix. The way it's going right now.
No, you're not even. When are you
no
gonna,
way.
When are you going to get a chance after this debacle with a surefire Hall of Fame quarterback? When are you going to get a chance to be a play caller again?
Yeah, right.
Especially when, forget head coach,
right.
A play caller again.
Well, you can go back to Green Bay and be Aaron Rodgers' buddy again.
Yeah, but you weren't
that's
calling
it.
Plays. LaFleur's going to call
exactly,
plays.
Right.
I'm just saying, remember when Kubiak was given the ultimatum, said you're going to play Paxton Lynch this last game and he's going to rotate with Trevor Siemian? How'd that work out?
Broncos are up 20-0 at the half and Paxton never saw the field.
Never saw the field because Gary Kubiak goes, you're not going to tell me who I'm going to play and who I'm not going to play, John. Sorry. It's not the way it works. And I get that you're trying to make it all work, but the NFL sometimes about hurting people's feelings. And I'm just saying, as a friend, I'm serious, as a friend, dude, you know you're going to get fired if this doesn't turn around today. We can't keep talking about, man, we're close or, you know, we're just waiting for it to click or
wait till December.
Yeah. If it doesn't turn around Sunday, if you go out and hang another 9 points, if you go out and have, you know, five more drives that end in a punt, five drives in a row that end in a punt, if you go out and set offense back and waste another stellar defensive performance, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, so, see you later.
Again, this is me, like, this is where my thought process is. It's like I came into the NFL as a 10th rounder from the University of Idaho without a shot to make the team. No shot. And I said, the only way I'm going to get my ass fired is that I'm not good enough. But I don't care. First game I ever played in, you know me, I'm a teddy bear. First game I ever played in, I got in a fight. You know why? I'll be damned if I'm going to let the Philadelphia Eagles punk me on national television, throw a punch at me, I'll break your freaking jaw. Because at some point, you got to bow your back. You think, let me ask you a question. I know we're going over here, but let me ask you a question. This is a serious.
Hold that thought. This is KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Okay. Let me.
Hold that. Hold its fever. Go ahead.
So let me ask you a question. How much respect do you have for somebody in an authority position? I'm talking any business, whether it's the NFL or whether it's here at the radio station or wherever you may work. You're heading down I-25 right now, heading to your job. How much respect do you have for a boss who can't bow his back and do what's right, that acquiesces to one and turns his back on 52? How much respect do you have for that? Because let me tell you how a locker room works. When that happens in a locker room, you're just like, this dude's not empowered. This guy is an authority. This guy doesn't have what it takes to lead a team. Honestly, Mike, that's where you are right now. And I don't know that for a fact. I mean, I'm just looking the outside looking in, but that's the way I know how players think. And I know what went down in Seattle. And I've had some pretty revealing conversations with the Seattle side of people. So I'm just asking you that question. Can you answer it? How much respect would you have for a guy that just never bows his back?
Yeah, I'd lose it. I'd lose it fast. No matter how much I might like him and root for him, yeah, I'd think less of him.
And then when he stands up in front and says there are going to be consequences, but you never see any of them?
Right.
Well, there are going to be consequences? The consequences for Melvin Gordon because I put the ball on the ground two more times last week. Now, neither of them resulted in turnovers. But he starts every week? Like, I'm just telling you how the mind of a player works.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.